It's good to have all of you with us. I need some help this morning for the message. So I'm going to ask for some volunteers that I'm going to call upon. So, no. I make the choice. We'll start with, let's see. Yeah. Penny Stewart, if you'd come up here and stand up here, and George Steiner, if you'd come up and stand up here, and Casey Bartels, if you'd come and stand up here, and Terry Klaus, if you'd come and stand up here, and Carla Coughlin, if you'd come and stand up here, since you're going to laugh so much, and David Rao, if you'd come and stand up here, and let's see, I saw somebody else, Grant Dewey, if you'd come and stand up here, and bring your wife with you too, if you would, please. And Stephen Kolmetz, if you'd come and stand up here, would you be willing to do that? Come on, Stephen, pay attention. Dave Post, come up here and stand up here, will you please? And Doug Moore, would you please come and stand up here? That's good. I need enough to do the wave. Yes, that's right. Dave Wilbur, come and stand up here. Saw you back there hiding and so on. Dan Fellhauer and your wife, Lori, would you please come up and stand up here? And Cody and Kira Hansen, if you'd come stand up here as well. We need more. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Who's Denise, would you come stand up here, please? Come, go. Okay. Don Shive, would you please come stand up here? Jim, would you come stand up here? Okay. Lisa Barnes, would you come stand up here, please? Thank you. Thinking. Porter. Would you come stand up here? Okay. Randy Leifer, would you bring Harold and the two of you come stand up here? Yeah. So just relax. I'm not going to do anything horrible. At least I don't think so. So I want to invite all of you to listen to the reading of God's word as I face this group of people. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, one of the things we know in terms of the geography of the place and so on, that actually Jesus teaching from the water, he was at a place where there was almost like an amphitheater, and so his voice was very easily heard. So it's not kind of an unusual thing that he would do this. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, and so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Father, I ask as we seek to understand this, your word, that your Spirit, who caused Luke to record this event, your Spirit who is involved in creating the event, would now come and create new life in us. in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week I talked a little bit about the whole process of discipleship. I want to talk more about that today out of this passage. A disciple, the word disciple in the Greek is mathetes, which means a learner. But it's a specific kind of learning. It's a learning that's most like apprenticeship. So apprenticeship is I put myself underneath a master of something, and I learn what that master can teach me so that I become like the master. And that's true whether you're talking about a plumber, learning how to be a plumber with a master plumber, or a carpenter, or somebody in the IT industry, or any other area. So I go to Casey as an example, and I say, well, what do you do, Casey? What's your job?
I'm a school teacher.
Still?
Yep.
Oh, that's really good
for
an old guy.
Yeah.
So if I really want to learn how to teach, I'm going to apprentice myself to Casey. Okay? Yeah. Stephen Kolmetz, what do?
I raise children.
Yeah. What's your job?
A pharmacist.
You're a pharmacist. So if I want to learn pharmacy, I go to school, but I also kind of find myself learning things from other people. And that happens in every area of life, one way or the other. What's unique in terms of this in Jesus is Jesus is the one who calls people to discipleship. And that calling takes place in this progression from what I talked about last week in terms of crowds, curious, convinced, and committed. So the call to the crowds is come and see. Come and take a look at me. Listen to my words. The call then to some who become curious as a result of that is come follow me. And that's kind of what's happened just now this morning, kind of visually, if you will. That all of you represent the crowds, and they're part of the crowds, but I have called them and said to them, come and follow me. And so these people, these 20 plus people, have made a decision that they're going to come and follow me. Which means, not just be curious, but investigate a little deeper. Find out more about who I am. It's clear in Scripture that this is not the first encounter that Simon Peter has with Jesus. But this particular event is definitive in his life. And it's definitive because Jesus, the master teacher and healer, does something in front of Simon that blows his mind. They've been fishing all night. That's when you fish. They caught nothing. Jesus says, put your nets down, go out into deeper water. And Simon Peter basically says, well, wait a minute. You're a carpenter's son. Why are you telling me about teaching? I know what I'm doing. But because of his previous experience with Jesus and recognizing something about him, one of which is he just got done healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law, as well as a whole bunch of other people, he says, nevertheless, I'll do what you say. I'll listen to you and do what you say, even though I'm very skeptical about that. And then the whole event of pulling in more fish than he can imagine and almost sinking the boat tastefully. And Peter recognizes Jesus in a new way. There's a deeper recognition of who Jesus is. And in that deeper recognition of who Jesus is, he also recognizes who he is in a deeper way. Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be in your presence. Our God is a consuming fire. I want to get away from you. So you need to go away. But Jesus says, you don't need to be afraid. Come and follow me, and I'll teach you to catch men. And so all of these people up here represent those people like Peter who have heard that call and begun to follow him. And then In the midst of following him, a new thing takes place, which is not just come and follow me, but come pick up your cross and follow me. That's what I talked about last week. We die to ourselves. We die to our own agenda for life, and we take up his agenda. Later on in the Gospel of Luke, all of the disciples are gathered together with Jesus up on a mountaintop, and Jesus has been praying, and he calls 12 of them to be with him in a special relationship. Not a special relationship of favor, but a special relationship of obligation to do something, to be apostles. A lot of times people are confused about the difference between apostles and disciples. They're not the same. Disciples is the term that is used to describe everyone who has taken a step out of the crowds to begin to follow Jesus. But then he calls 12 to be apostles. Apostles means sent ones. And so they are going to be his ambassadors. So he's going to give them a particular task. Now, if you're standing up here and you are a current elder or deacon, I want you to stay. Everybody else, go sit down. So these three people represent the 12. They hear not only the call to follow Jesus, but they hear the call to go in Jesus' name. They become part of what's called the committed. Those who hear not just follow Jesus, but go in Jesus' name. And go in a particular way with a particular kind of calling. Unfortunately, we've kind of twisted that to mean something different than I think what Scripture actually means. So we look at a person like Kathy Eskew and we say, she's listened to the call of God and so she has a calling to be a pastor. And that is absolutely true. But these three people also have callings, both inside and outside the walls of the church. So Terry, what's your job? What do you do? Come on, you work with people. What do you? Don't give me this.
A program manager.
A program manager. You work with electronics and all that kind of stuff.
Computers.
Okay. What's your job?
I'm a geek.
You're a geek. And what's your job?
I don't know.
You don't know. What do you do?
Work with the Ministry to Orphans in Russia.
Yeah. Okay. And if I were to go to different people in the congregation who are also followers of Jesus, I'd say to like Dave Post, Dave, what's your special calling?
I'm retired. I don't have
one. You don't have one any longer. But you do have one, because what do? What is your calling?
You know, I'm a help people.
That's right. You called to help people. And that's true whether you're working in a job that you get paid for or you don't get paid, you know. Like right now, you don't get paid, right? I get paid. I'm good because I get paid. You're good for nothing. I tell you. So, but Dave lives out his calling. He comes over to my house and he helps me. And he helps me do stuff that I can't do at all. I have no idea. If he came over to my house and helped me with plumbing, as an example, which he did recently, and then I turned around and said to him, Dave, you shouldn't be doing it that way. You should do it this way. Dave would turn around and say, Bill, you're crazy. I know who you are. I know what you can't do. I'm not going to listen to you. But if Jesus calls and says to him, Dave, you're going about this the wrong way. I want you to come follow me and show you the right way to do that. Well, that same thing is going on with these three individuals. One of them works in a ministry. Two of them work in the business world. But the call of God on them is exactly the same in two different ways. One, the same call that is the call to all Christians. And two, the unique call that comes to us based on our gifts, our personalities, our experiences, and what we bring to the table. And it's not relegated to professional Christian ministry. Now you can go ahead and sit down. Thank you so much. Thank you all for helping. Here's what I want to say this morning. Stop thinking of yourselves as Christians and start thinking of yourselves as either disciples or apprentices. The call of God on all of you is exactly the same. To follow Christ, to learn from Christ, to become like Christ. There become, with every single one of us, a character transformation. There was a time in my life when I was in my 20s, older 20s, and I kind of didn't have a clue as to where I was going in life, and I was working in an ice cream store. And I was complaining to God, and I was saying, show me what I'm supposed to do, because I don't have a clue. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I had one of the five different moments in my life where I've basically heard God speak to me almost audibly, and he said, Bill, I'm not so concerned as the job you have as to who you are in whatever you do. That's the voice of God coming to me, and I think it's the voice of God coming to every single person who begins to follow Christ. It's not the issue. The issue is not so much what job we have, but who we are in that job. Whether we're a teacher or a laborer, whether we work with computers or we work with people. What is the character that we bring to the table? To become disciples of Christ is to begin to follow him in such a way that the way we think and the way we feel and the way we act begins to change in our relationships. Now, here's what I know. I know this for myself, and I know it for all of you. All of us, no matter how good we are, we do that imperfectly. I mean, I am intensely aware of my inabilities. I'm intensely aware of the ways in which I fall down and ways in which I don't do it right. But as I've been a Christian, following Christ as his disciple over the years, I've also discovered intensely that whether a person forgives me or not for my faults, Christ does forgive me, and he gives me the opportunity to begin again, to start over again, to move along the pathway of discipleship, that Christ's character be formed within me. And part of the way I've learned that is by being a part of this group of people who are all walking on the same path together, imperfectly, stumbling along, sometimes getting tired, sometimes doing it a little rabbit trail, going off in the wrong direction. But all of whom have heard the call of God, come follow me. There's a book I'd like to recommend. It's out on the book table. It's called Follow. It's by Floyd McClung. And it's, the subtitle is A Simple and Profound Call to Live Like Jesus. He quotes in this book, he quotes Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch in their book, Read Jesus. And he says this, following Jesus involves more than simply accepting him as your Savior via some prayer of commitment, no matter how sincere that prayer may be. In order to follow Jesus, you must also emulate him, using his life as a pattern for your own. And in the course of this book, he deals with a variety of issues, obedience and lordship and repentance and pride and faithfulness, all involved in loving Jesus. But he also talks about practicing Jesus and sharing Jesus and suffering with Jesus. And that has to do with loving others who don't know Jesus. And in the third part of the book, he talks about loving one another, a committed community, allies in a global awakening and gut level transparency. God is calling us to that kind of life. And he's saying, come and follow me. But I also think that there's a call upon our lives in particular, too, that's different. My call in terms of ministry is different than Kathy's call. If I try to live out Kathy's call I become inauthentic and I become ineffective. If Kathy tries to live out my call, she becomes inauthentic, ineffective. If I try to live out Don Shive's call on life as a counselor, or Doug Moore's life as a lifestyle counselor, if I try to live that out, I become inauthentic and ineffective, because that's not the call of God on my life. If you have a job in the secular world that matches your gifts and your passions, and you try to get out of that in order to become a professional Christian, you're going to be ineffective and you're going to be inauthentic. Sure as the day is long. So we need to listen not only to the call of God that is the same for all Christians, follow me and learn from me and be changed by me, but also we need to listen for the call of God in our lives, and we need to pay attention to our lives. There's a little book by Parker Palmer called Let Your Life Speak. It's a helpful little book to help you to begin to think through, well, what is the call on your life, your particular life? And don't think of it just in terms of professional ministry, but think of it in terms of who you are. Because part of God's plan is to throw all of us out, to shake all of us out into the world as salt and light. And we already have the places that we've been shaken into, our neighborhoods, our homes, but our places of work and our places of study as well. And we need to listen to the call of God in the midst of that. And part of listening to the call of God is paying attention to, what are my gifts? What are my abilities? What's my training been? What are my life experiences that I've had? What is the passion of my heart for? Now, sometimes we can't get into a job that fits all that particularly. But what we can do is, in any job we are in, live out the call of Christ on our lives to follow him, to learn from him, to become like him. That's the task before us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would teach all of us how to follow Christ, to learn from him, listen to him, allow him to have his way with us, and put his finger on those things in our lives where we need a change to take place, whatever that might be. In Jesus' name, amen.